VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wine Times, the podcast about all things grape-related. Brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club, with me, Makita Oliver.
And me, Will Lyons, the Sunday Times wine columnist and vice president of the Sunday Times Wine Club.
Yes, you are. And this show, as you might have guessed, is all about wine. Red, white, rosé, sparkling.
Italian, French, Australian, South African, and all the rest.
This series, we're going to be tasting our way through those tannins. And we won't be doing it alone, will we?
Nope. Every episode, we'll be joined by a well-known guest for some good wine, good times, and lively conversation.
And remember, the wines featured in this episode and all others are available through the Sunday Times Wine Club. If you haven't signed up yet, there'll be a link in the episode description for you.
So whether you're an expert with a broad palate,
or you just tend to go with the house stuff,
in this show, you're sure to find something to suit your taste. Raising a glass with Makita and myself today, here at Universal Music Studios, is the multi-award-winning musician Gregory Porter.
You will all know his beautiful voice that has twice seen him win a Grammy Award for Best Jazz Vocal Album. A truly gifted singer who found his passion as a child following his mother, who was a minister, into the church and joining the choir. But if it were not for a shoulder injury in college, we could have all been robbed of his voice and instead seen him lining up on an American football field. Thankfully, though, 8 albums later, he remains one of the best jazz vocalists in the world. And his latest album, Still Rising, is full of new songs, your favourites, and some incredible duets. It's out now and is simply beautiful. Gregory Porter, welcome to Wine Times.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So it's absolutely lovely to be talking to you today, and even better that we're sitting and talking and drinking wine while we do it.
I agree.
It's a lovely thing to do.
Yeah.
How is your relationship with wine? Are you a lover of wine?
I am. It's social for me. I mean, when I get a bottle, it's never, I can't wait to enjoy this by myself. When I get a bottle, I'm always like, I can't wait to enjoy this with my brother, with my wife, with my family. And it causes me to make a great meal. If I know that I have an elevated wine, I'm going to make an elevated dish.
Wow, so it starts with the wine for you.
It starts with the wine for me, because I'm always retrieving. I live in California. There's great wines in California. But for me, I have not found that complexity in the shoulders that European wine has in California. I'm sure it exists, but I haven't found it yet in my wine-loving wine search experience. Which has been the last 15 years, which has mostly been in... I'm always over here, right? I'm always over in UK and Europe. So I bring these wonderful wines home, and then becomes the process. It's like, okay, for that bottle, I know where I got it. I know who gave it to me. Let me make a thing of it. Yeah.
And you made a really important point, I think, about sharing a bottle, sitting down, having a meal. And it's almost like it touches your emotions, doesn't it? Like listening to beautiful music, but listening to live music.
Yeah.
There's something innate in it. I think that's why, as humans, we've been drinking wine for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But there's something about breaking bread with the family or friends and the bottle, and you're right, it just elevates the mood, if it's good wine.
Yeah.
If it's bad wine, it might not do that.
Right. It'll slay everybody. Ah, I got a headache. You got a headache too? Oh, man. No, but listen, talking about the social thing. So it happened to me while having these fantastic dinners in all of these places that I talked about in Portugal and Spain, Italy, France, and the UK, wherever I've had this great wine. And I realized we had this extraordinary meal, and then the bottles are empty, two or three bottles. And I always say to myself, I want my people to have this experience as well. So that's my brothers, my sisters, and my friends. And that experience is transported in these bottles.
Yeah.
Now, the experience is us, but the catalyst that starts it is the experience of the wine. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And it excites people. They're like, oh, what is this? And where is it from? What region is that? Where is it? You know?
Yeah.
And that's the point. It's so connected to where it's made. I mean, it even has a picture of the field where the grapes were grown on the label. And there's not many foodstuffs that have that connection. You can't go into even your high-end grocery store and say, where's that broccoli produced?
Yeah.
Whereas with wine, you know where it is. But also, as you said, you can travel vicariously around the world from home on the wine route with different wines. You can have a wine from Australia, from California, from France, and suddenly you're there.
Yeah.
And you can almost taste the smells and the sort of scrub of the French landscape in some wines.
Yeah.
Italian, the sort of forest floor up in Montreux.
Minerals.
Do you remember when you first sort of started to appreciate wine or good wine?
You know, this is interesting. this is interesting. So there was this big craze in the United States. Now, don't be offended, anybody. However, this company, Trader Joe's, however they get their wine, nobody really knows. what they do is they collect lots of wine from wine producers, and then apparently there's a mix that happens, and then they create this wine that's called Two Buck Chuck.
Oh well,
which is Charles Shaw, and in college, everybody was buying this $1.99 wine. This was our start.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can shake your head at this $2 wine, but it started a lot of people off as like, okay, if you chill the white that they had, if you chill it enough, you can get past whatever that $2 is worth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that was the start for many people. Yeah. And then they realized there's something better. And then you're like, oh, but then there's this and this and this, and you grow. Mm-hmm. But that was the basis for a lot of college students, right?
I couldn't agree more with what you just said.
That's because, what you were saying today, actually.
And I was saying, the whole thing about wine snobbery is when people decry wines, as long as people are drinking wine, there is joy to be found in a $2 wine. And then the next night or the night after, you might have one that's $20,000, and you can still enjoy it. But your point is, so
you know
right.
what? I could enjoy it, but ooh, drinking $20,000.
See, I'd find it quite a lot.
It gets you onto the wine journey, doesn't it? It gets you onto the wine route. Yeah. As much as we've been talking about music, so you might start, I don't know, with Guns N' Roses. Yeah. And then you end up with Brahms and Wagner or Gregory Porter.
Yeah.
But you do you know how I mean? So as long as they're listening to music, it's fine.
Yeah.
As long as they're reading books. And I always say, if you talk down wine, they're going to go and drink beer or gin or spirits. Or
right,
bourbon,
right, right, yeah.
And we lose it.
Because I have to say, the culture you were talking about, I would imagine people would be gravitating towards beer.
No, exactly. But then sometimes you're having a dinner and you're like, you know, oh, we can do $2 chuck, you know. we can elevate
this up.
We can elevate this thing with some $2 wine. Right. No, but listen, y'all. I'll just say in my own experience, the graduation is real. Because you get to a point where, when you're buying the $2 wine, you say, oh, there's no difference between this $2 wine and a $100 wine. There's no difference between this $100 wine and, you know, it's the stratosphere right now, right? Then there's a thing that happens. You travel around different places, and then there's wines that just marry perfectly to your palate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it costs. Somehow you can find yourself at a grocery store in France that will sell you a $17 wine that will slay you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's like, what? How? I paid $17 for a burger. And this is changing my life. That can happen. And wine is about exploration, because every time you don't know what you're going to get. And I have to be honest. Sometimes I judge a book by its cover.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes I like the colors that I like. Burnt orange and green appeals to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes the label speaks to me. Sometimes the shape of the bottle. Sometimes it's the wording. Sometimes that happens. That's the aesthetic is part of it.
Absolutely.
First of all, the glass means a lot to me.
Me yeah. too. I'm
I understand we don't have everything that we want here, but I'm not going to hold nobody at fault for that.
We've got our branded glasses, for goodness sake.
It's nice. I just like a long stem. I like a huge glass.
Yes,
I don't have.
Too.
I'm saying that, and I don't
it's
even
like
know
we
what we're drinking.
No,
yeah.
These
are the appropriate glasses for what we're drinking.
I totally agree. One of those, like, you know, when the air can really go in the
right,
glass.
Right,
Zalto or Riedel, yeah.
Voluminous.
Yeah.
I'm a swirler, right? So, you know what wine is? It's analog. This is you putting the record on the record player. This is you dropping the needle. And this is you sitting back and slowly enjoying. This is not quick consumption.
They're like speakers, aren't they? So good glasses are like Bowers & Wilkins, you know. And they amplify the experience.
Yeah, they amplify the experience.
Wow.
And that's important to me. And so there's some, you know, I've had some experiences where like my family members don't understand. And they're pouring this wine that was gifted to me by, you know, the president of the record label, and it's an important wine. And then they pour it into this plastic cup I literally will stop them. I was like, okay, take a sip now. And they're like, yeah, that's all right. Okay, hold on a second. Let me get you the right glass. now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
Yeah.
Then the nose comes into, then, you know, then it's like it elevates the experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
I always think it's like listening to jazz with really good headphones on, with your eyes shut, really concentrating. Can you hear all the instruments? I mean, I'm only a layperson. As opposed to just having it on in the background, doing the ironing or, you know, doing the cooking.
Yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? That
right.
concentration.
Elevated experience, which is really... I think about it in music. I was a pretty good singer when I was 18. But it wasn't until my seed, in a way, was put into the right soil that I really opened up. And so it's the elevation of an appreciation of something that can be a part of the experience. When something is treated like it should be treated, it can be an elevated experience. Once I finally was put in the right place and with the right people and with the right musicians, I took off. Now, that was a stretch of an analogy, but I still enjoyed it.
No, I really enjoyed it.
And I'm going to keep on making analogies.
Please do.
Just before you go to the first one, it's about emotion. You mentioned emotion, and it's because your sense of smell is part of the limbic system, which is long-term memory and emotion, which is the same with music. So as music can unlock... and make you feel very emotional, like a beautiful. If I listen to one of your songs, Concord, that makes me quite emotional.
Yeah.
I love it, it just moves me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wine can do that.
So what are we starting with, Will?
Well, we thought we'd start with some bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to France, and we're having a glass of Bollinger.
Yeah.
And there is a particular reason why I picked this wine, which I think we can... mentions that. We've got a very famous movie out at the moment in the UK called Bond, James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And James Bond drinks, in the films, a lot of Bollinger.
Okay.
And when he's not having a martini.
In the books, actually, in the Ian Fleming books, he drinks Tachinger. But what happened was Cubby Broccoli, the old producer, he met Madame Lily Bollinger. And I think this is true, that Bollinger donated a case for one of the wines in the late 60s. And it must have been the cheapest franchise ever, because from then on in, Bollinger was featured all throughout the Roger Moore years.
Wow.
And now it's become almost like, whoa, that cork's just about to pop up. Yeah. You have to have a glass of Bollinger.
Yeah. And the Roger Moore years were quite champagne-y.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
A lot of drinking
of
going on.
Roger Moore was my Bond, right? And yeah. I was like, dang, this cat is, and it was always in a coupe. Yeah. You know, his was particularly in a coupe, which I love.
I think that's the best way the Roger Moore Bond films have ever been described. It was quite champagne. Now, we've bought spittoons, Gregory, and I don't know how much you know about the sort of culture of spittoons and the spitting out of the wine in the tasting, but it's up to you to spit or swallow.
Well, my mother taught me it was naughty to spit, you see. Therefore, I must consume all of this liquid.
I won't be spitting today.
This is quite nice because you get the sort of aftertaste, what we call the length. And the great wine taste is all about, you know, you talk about, you can count it for 10 seconds, 20 seconds. And there's a very famous wine taster called Michael Schuster here in London. And he says the great wines of the world, which you have tasted, you can almost taste them the next day because they linger on your palate.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that apple comes in strong at the end, doesn't it? That green apple.
Like a Granny Smith, yeah. Yeah, like biting into. Mm-hmm. And that's a freshness, actually, that the a lot of the big champagne houses now are searching for. Whereas before, it's funny, I don't know, it's the same in music, we have fashions.
Yeah.
But the fashion at the moment is for lighter alcohol, cleaner wine, more pure, more finesse, more elegant, more like a string quartet as opposed to a double bass. Whereas back in the 80s or 90s, when I first got into wine, it was all about richness and power.
As a touring, you know, very, very successful, very busy musician, how does wine come into the world of touring? Because, I don't know, Will, is it okay to drink lots of wine if you want to look after your voice? If you got to sing every night,
you can ask me.
Yeah, he's asking the doctor.
Yeah.
He may
have some theoretical thought, but I
how
have.
Do you feel about
yeah,
it,
you
Gregory?
Should. I don't. You know, this is a podcast, and they probably didn't give you my rider, but in my rider, it says 2 bottles of wine, and it right or wrong over a particular value. Generally, I leave one for the cleaning staff that's cleaning my dressing room. But my road manager in Germany was a sommelier for years. He lives in Portugal when he's not working with me. And he'll say, Gregory, this is the one. I have a little cellar at the house. And I think it's going to be in there I'll let that stay in there and I'll get another 50 bottles. And I get another, you know, I think as Christmas comes around, there's 100 people at my house. That, you know, they've drank up everything else, so then I got to go to the cellar.
Go to the cellar.
But ultimately, that's the thing I'm talking about experience. Okay, let me tell you what happened, y'all. This is a champagne story. So Krug sends over 3 special bottles that I was supposed to... Oh, man, am I supposed to... Can I? Yeah, I can say this.
Yeah.
We're not under contract anymore.
No.
They sent me 3 bottles that I'm supposed to taste on camera and, you know, it's like, and give my thoughts and a conversation about it. And it didn't happen because I had one of my nieces, bless her, she was like, I want some more drink. I had the 2 bottles of Krug way down in the bottom of my shelf, and not it was to be hidden away.
Got a hold
of them, and I think what happened. I think 2 of my nieces and nephews, they cracked open a bottle of Krug each. So when I woke up in the morning, there's 2 half-drank bottles.
Oh, I was.
And I was like, what?
That now, is like a next level thing.
Right. So, but this was the higher
end
bottles, right? You know what they are.
Yeah, the Clos de Menil, I think.
Yeah, not particularly cheap, right?
Yeah, they're from a walled vineyard. Yeah, I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars.
Right. Yeah, and so I was like, yo. First of all, I was supposed to do some work with those. Secondly, you know, nobody asked. Thirdly, you drank them hot.
Exactly. You didn't even put them in a glass.
They, they did a bling bling picture with it. It was like, yo, we up in the house with a bottle of warm champagne.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. Remember, the wines featured in this episode and all others are available through the Sunday Times Wine Club. If you haven't signed up yet, there'll be a link in the episode description for you.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we're going to move on to what we thought was, if this was like a day in the life of Gregory, we feel like this would be more of a decompressing wine for you. Sort of the gig's done, the gig's gone extraordinarily well, your family and friends are around you, and this is kind of what you'd want to feed people, you know, okay. Give to people, give to the room. It's kind of like a hug, no? A kind of deeper hug than that.
Did she just color our experience without allowing us to experience that for ourselves? Don't you love it when it's like, what you're going to taste here is...
You tell me it tastes like a hug.
Are you one of those?
No, I'm really not.
No, let me taste this hug right now.
Yeah, go on.
So we're going down to the Rhone Valley. Mm. And now we're not tasting Chateau Lafite Rothschild, I'm afraid, or Cheval Blanc. It's a Chateau Neuf de Pape. So as you can see,
which I love.
It's got the papal arms on it.
Oh, I know this all day long. I know this.
Yeah, now this is a sort of... So we're going back to the 14th century when there's a schism in Rome, and the papal palace is moved to Avignon. You've probably seen it, that incredible building. And the Pope there, much like yourself, is a man of discerning taste. And he's getting his wines from Burgundy, and he's not particularly happy with what he's getting. So he plants his own vineyards around Avignon in Chateau Neuf, and it becomes... Chateau Neuf de Pape. And I think the popes were there. There was 9 popes there in the 14th
century. So Chateau Neuf de Pape came from popes?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It's called, you know, the literal translation is the Pope's New Castle.
Wow.
And it's a small appellation. So it's 9 miles wide, 5 miles long. And it's 15 different grape varieties. But the big one is Grenache, which is that sort of easygoing, almost like a Merlot, you know. It's easygoing, sort of... easy listening music. Warming, isn't it?
There's something in it that smells sweet. Oh, I have to say, it's heady because I haven't even sipped it yet, and I feel from the smell in my head a little bit.
This, at the better wine store in my hometown, I can find this, and it's my go-to when I'm doing... A meat dish, and I love it.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I love about wine, that I love about kind of these elevated, mature tasting experiences. If you don't have to be a smoker, but it can happen in smoking a pipe or a cigar. There's a different understanding of bitterness.
Yeah.
That's not bitter. It's not a unpleasant bitterness. It's just what it is, bitterness.
Yeah.
this is a thing that you come to understand in maybe a more sophisticated tasting. And there's a particular thing that I like in maybe a Bordeaux. I call it Barnyard.
Yeah, Barnyard.
It's a little bit of a funk.
Oh, yeah, like almost like when it tastes like soil.
Yes.
Yep.
So I like that.
You could call it farmyardy, funky. I think in France they call it sauvage, which is Barnyard, which is basically, and it's like old stinky cheese, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
So everyone thinks, I think, if you don't know much about wine, it should always smell of fruit and be, but actually the savoury character or vegetal. You could be cooking cabbage at home. Okay, that might not be your thing, but actually, paired with food, it's a magical experience. Mm. And then the sort of other character, you know, would be oaky, which a lot of people mistake for coffee because coffee, oak, and spice. And then, as you said, animal, the forest floor, the earthiness.
But I think that's what a great sensory part of wine is, that you are drinking sort of the land. You know, this came from the land. And I want to taste the soil sometimes.
And we're quite near Avignon. So if we went from here, we can get the Eurostar to Paris, switch over. You go down in the TGV, you get to Valence. And suddenly, the whole landscape changes. The heat hits you in this, and you get this sort of smell of thyme and lavender. And pine, and you go out and the scrub, the Garrigue of Provence, and you can almost taste that in the wine. I love that. And the first time that ever happens to you, you remember it for the rest of your life, don't you? That those smells.
Gregory, let's talk a little bit about the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, a mammoth album, and duets with some people that are no longer with us, people that are with us.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experience of duetting with people that are no longer with us and people. Greats we're talking about, like Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald.
I mean, that's
what
pretty
an extraordinary thing.
Right. No, I didn't realize the list until somebody put it together. I was like, yo, Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Julie London.
Yeah.
You know, at the start of your career, you think you have goals and dreams. But at some point, there are dreams you didn't even know that were attainable, that were beyond dreams. So Nat King Cole was so important to me that you know, that so when I get in this to the studio and I'm singing on his microphone.
No, on his microphone.
You know,
wow.
In Capitol Studios in Los Angeles, which is, they call the house that Nat built.
Mm.
That's a dream, man. That's a dream.
Yeah.
To harmonize with Nat King Cole and know that it's going to go out to the public. Yes, it's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. God, what an experience. And now you're sort of going to release, well, you're releasing it now, but you're working heavily all around the world to promote it?
Yes.
Because when an album comes out from Gregory Porter, I feel like you go everywhere to let people know.
Yeah, I think my general touring schedule is generally over 200 shows a year.
Wow.
220, sometimes 250. There's some songs that have been on previous recordings. There's some re-recordings of songs like No Love Dying. This song became extraordinarily important to me during the pandemic. I lost my brother, and he was there when I recorded the song originally, and then I got to thinking about what happens to all this energy that was between us. It doesn't go anywhere. It's still there, and I need to reaffirm that song, reaffirm that message. There's some doubt that's out about this love, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. I realize the importance of music and the importance of it and how it buoyed me during this, you know, during a dark time. And that's the reason for this compilation. I don't call it greatest hits because I'm still rising. I feel like I'm maybe at the halfway point of my career, and I got more to say, more to sing about. But this is a record that connects the dots in a way as well. Optimism that I have about love, the belief in irrepressible love, no matter what, even if it's foolish. Hey, Laura is like, go ahead and lie to me, girl. I know you love somebody else. Lie to me, and I'll take that. That's good enough for me. This is still a confused belief in the power of love, but it's still love, right?
Yeah.
So even that. So this is connecting the dots of all of these things.
Yeah, bringing everything together.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like this wine that we've had, the Chateau
Neuf de Pape. I really enjoy this.
It's a classic for you anyway.
Yeah, Chateau. Yeah, it's a classic for me. I really love it. I think the first time I had it was with in France with a spicy sausage and bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really just it's kind of a peasant dish.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, again, but you're elevated by what? The wine.
Now, here's a bit of fun I was reading about, though, in preparation for today, is that there was a, and there's been lots and lots of studies of all sorts of things about wine, but there was a study, you may have read about it, by Charles Spence about music and wine and whether listening to great music can make the wine taste better. And so, like all these studies, it comes with lots and lots of caveats. But they did get, I think, 250 people, and they tried it. And they did find that it works with red wine. And if you play powerful and heavy music, so I was thinking something like Concord, it makes the wine taste powerful and heavy.
No.
If it's subtle and refined, would that be something like Water Under Bridges?
Mm.
Yeah. It makes the wine more subtle and refined. Mm-hmm. And then zingy and refreshing. Liquid spirit, uplifting.
Look at him.
I told
Preach.
You he's a massive Preach, red brother. Water fan.
And then mellow and soft, which I would say would be Hey Laura.
Yeah.
And then makes a wine taste. So I haven't tried it, but anyway, we could try it, couldn't we? We couldn't try it now, but we something to take
we
away with
do it
us.
Now, but something's
but at your
away.
Concert, imagine that. You every track, you bring out a new wine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What an expensive
but
tour.
No, sorry, it would be the same wine. It would be the same wine, and you ask people to note down how they're feeling as you sing the song.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try and write about that, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that connection. Did he get every song reference?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
That was strong. It was very good. Like, well, I mean, he's a man that's about palette and music. Man, if there's anything that I think that I do is I have an understanding of the right color at the right time in the music. I'll you know, you leave it to other people to decide who you are and the overall of your career. But I know that there's some things that I do, and it's within a song, the right timbre, the right tone at the right time. I think I can do that. And that's the wine.
Yeah. And almost a lot of these great winemakers regard themselves as artists.
Yeah.
And they see wine through the sphere of art,
yeah.
Not through the sphere of food or a beverage. Because it is, at the end of the day, it's a luxury product, isn't it? But like art, it's a rarefied world.
It's absolutely artistry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. Have you ever run into a surprise, an accident that's happened in a lower to mid-range priced wine? Now, when I say that, that's all relative to someone's incomes. But I'll just say, generally speaking, in pounds, I'll say
20 quid?
20, yeah. 20 at the low end, 40, 50 at the high. High end. This is a surprise in that range, where you were like, "That's not supposed to taste like that at that price."
Yeah, that. I mean, I suppose
people are always in search of that. So I, you know,
no, that thing.
Good question.
Well, I used to do a lot of blind tasting, and I was served a wine, which I deducted was from Bordeaux by you know, but then it went completely wrong because they asked me, "What year was it?" And I thought it was old, so I went, "Oh, I don't know. It must be them, you know, the 70s. And the chat was like, no, I wouldn't serve you anything that young. And so I was wrapping my brain thinking, oh dear, I've made a huge, it's like you're for a roller coaster, you hit the peak and it's going down fast.
That young, so, I love that word.
So then I started to remember, I started to think, right, crikey, so what years are there that's good in Bordeaux? And the two most famous ones are 58, 59. And I could see his face. I was thinking, okay, it's not that. Might be 52 because this was 2012, so it could be the coronation year. And then I said, oh, is it 47? Because no, I was like, 43 was a very famous year because a lot of France was occupied. So the grapes were picked by the grandparents and the wives and the grandchildren. Because then I was like, pre-war. And then I think he said, stop thinking of the two most famous wars in the 20th century. Because I think I said 1928. And it was in 1874.
Oh my goodness.
Even though I guessed it was a Bordeaux, I was 105 years out.
But the age. Tell me what the biggest surprise.
Yeah, so that was my goodest moment. So I took
a wine of that age, how did
yeah,
it taste?
Yeah, I took a video of it. I wrote it down. It was still fresh. It was Bordeaux. It's from Margaux. It still had a floral note, like a violet note. It was brick. It turned, so old Bordeaux turns some sort of this pungent purple colour in youth. So it did have a slight brick red hue.
But well, it'd been 150 years.
They had bought it on release and kept it in their cellars. It had never moved. Wow. And it just shows you that great wine, like great music, can last for generations.
Yeah.
Generations. Coming back to your question, Portugal is the place to get good value wines. Mm. You always get surprises there in that $15 to $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then the $50, there's a chateau in Bordeaux called Chateau Grand Prix Lacoste. And that always surprises me. Yeah.
We'll write it down for you, Gregory.
Yeah.
Let's have a cheers to the Chateau Neuf du Pape.
Yeah. Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, Gregory.
My pleasure.
That's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club, produced by Ben Mitchell.
You can follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do this via your normal podcast provider.
We'll be back next week with more delicious wines and another great guest.
And remember that all of the wines we tasted today are available from the Sunday Times Wine Club website.
Goodbye.
Bye.
It's the most tasting we've ever done.
Yeah.
The most swallowing.
Yeah,
we
don't normally swallow.
No one spat. Not once. It wasn't even discussed after.
So I do find that if you have a glass of champagne, with me especially, it goes straight to my head. If I'm doing a speech, I could never do it.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.